Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology. I'm Janet Hickox, the astrologer on call today, and I also have my wonderful friend, Laura Walker from OracleReport.com here with us. Hi, Laura, and welcome.
Hi, Janet. Thank you for having me again.
I'm so excited. I love that we have had so much response that we had to do a second show. That, to me, is just awesome. And so we look forward to hearing what else you have to share with us today and also doing some readings for people that, some that we didn't get to last week and also some new ones that hopefully we can get to. And by the way, happy May Day. It is
happy
the first
May
of
Day.
May.
Yes, it's a...
Yeah. I woke up this morning and thought, oh my gosh, today's May Day. And remember when we were kids? The little, I don't know if you guys did it, but we did in California where I grew up, we made little May Day baskets and paper flowers, and we would take them and go from door to door dropping flowers at people's door. Wasn't that fun? I don't know if you
ever
did that.
Yeah, that's what I prefer to think of. Yeah, and May Day is so charged with so many things. I just like to keep it to the flowers.
Yes, the flowers. You know, I actually looked up a little bit of information on May Day and discovered that May Day is an ancient spring festival, at least here in the Northern Hemisphere. And, of course, it's also an astronomical holiday, one of the year's four cross-quarter days, or the day that, you know, falls more or less midway between the spring equinox and the June solstice. So May Day stems also from the Celtic festival of Beltane, which was related to the waxing power of the sun as we moved closer and closer to summer. And at Beltane, people lit fires, and then they danced around a maypole, and they moved in the same direction that the sun crossed the sky. Kind of some little ancient wisdom there from the old days. And I'm sure there are plenty of other things that we could talk about that have happened on May Day, but we'll just leave it at that for now.
Yeah, we'll stick to charts for today.
Yeah. So Laura and I will be continuing our conversation today on the Black Moon Lilith, and we'll also be bringing in a discussion on Eris, who is also transiting through Aries, and she was also discovered when she was in Aries. Is that right, Laura?
Oh, yeah, she hasn't moved a lot since then.
That's what I thought. And she and planet Venus will be having a close encounter in the next few weeks, so I thought that would be an interesting topic to also cover today since you're the expert on Eris as well, since you've written the book on her. So first, let's go into our little astrology and astronomy news. I'm actually going to start with the astronomy news today because it's really fascinating, the sky lineup. You know, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and typically my sky is cloudy, and I don't really get I don't often get a chance, especially this time of year, to look at the sky. But I'm hoping and praying that I'm going to be able to have some clear days to see some of these things. First up is, you know, Jupiter and Mars are both into view as soon as darkness falls or as soon as the sun sets, all through the month of May. And both of them are very, very bright right now. And it's not likely that you're going to mistake one for the other because they're in little different parts of the sky, but they're also different colored. Of course, Jupiter kind of appears a cream color, and Mars, its trademark reddish. Also, in the early evening, Saturn is rising over the southeast horizon, and though it's not as bright as Jupiter or Mars, its brilliance is really much like the brightest stars of the evening. And this is actually considered Saturn's month, because the ringed planet is closest to us in May of 2014. And so it is really the planet to watch during this whole entire month. As seen from the Earth, Saturn sits low in the southeast sky at nightfall and also into the early evening. And right now, the Earth is passing between the Sun and Saturn. So we say that the planet is in opposition to the Sun in our sky. And, of course, that happens, I think Saturn's in Scorpio right now, and the Sun in Taurus would be opposite of it. And so Saturn is shining in front of the constellation Libra. So remember, the astronomers are always going to put it in a constellation as opposed to a zodiac sign, and the zodiac sign is one ahead of the actual place in the sky that you'll find the planet. And as we get into the night of May 13th, Saturn will actually be in making a triangle with two of Libra's brightest stars, and I'm probably going to butcher their names, but Zubin al-Janubi and Zubin al-Shamali. Haha, I did say them pretty well, close to, and I'm sure they are. And so we have this beautiful thing to be looking at in the sky as they form this triangle. Mercury is also going to be visible in the evening right after sunset for most of the month of May. And it's at its elongation point, so it's at its furthest point that it gets away from the Sun in the eastern sky, at its greatest angular distance, we usually say. And so near May 25th, kind of the last week of the month, you will be able to see Mercury low in the western sky as the Sun sets. And then apparently right around May 30th, the lunar crescent moon will be very near Mercury after sunset. So we have some beautiful things that we can look forward to. And, of course, where I live, as we get closer to the end of May, hopefully the skies get clearer and clearer and I can actually see these things. Now, Venus is the brightest planet, and it's still prominent in the eastern pre-dawn and dawn sky throughout the month of May. She is actually the most brilliant star-like object in the morning sky all the way until you get into October. And that's when she'll move into her evening star phase, or her evening planet phase. So we'll be able to see the waning crescent moon close to Venus on May 25th. So we have some beautiful things in the sky to look forward to. And then astrology news for May. You know, thankfully, May is actually turning out to be, it'll be a very energetic month, Laura, but not so much as April. I mean, I think April left people breathless as, you know, one thing after another was happening. Lots of action. I noticed a lot of action going on in my life. How about you?
Oh, yeah, and I think a lot of that was the cardinal cross, and also because Uranus was conjunct the new moon in Aries. And so Uranus just, you know, picks up the speed of things, and Aries likes to move fast anyway. So we're really kind of to transition out of that energy now and slow down, actually, and process.
Yeah, actually, you know, that would be a really nice thing for a while. I think we would welcome some time. Now, there are a couple of sticky things coming up for this month. For what we're going to talk about Venus mostly here, moving into Aries. And, you know, we usually think of Venus moving into any sign as a sort of bringing harmony to that sign. And in most cases, that is the truth. And this month, as she moves, and actually May 3rd, she moves into Aries, and she will be there until May 28th. And that puts Venus in the sign that Mars rules, and that puts Mars, which is still in Libra, in the sign that Venus rules. So we say that the two planets are in mutual reception. And mutual reception is, it's sort of interesting how that energy works, because in it, the planet that's in the other one's sign sort of takes on the characteristics of that sign, while the other one does the same. So here we have Venus in Aries, and so she is actually putting on her sort of feminine armor, let's say. And in Libra, Mars is putting on the more feminine energies. So here are some of the Venus in Aries traits that we can, you know, be expecting over the next couple of, or probably next 4 weeks or so. Number one, in Aries, she's very independent and feisty, idealistic in nature, and also very passionate. And in that idea, love is inspired by the ideals that come from that sign, which are things like freedom and equality and justice, which really sounds sort of like Libra, right? Those are the kind of Libran traits that we expect. But anytime a planet is moving through one sign, it is also picking up the traits from the sign opposing it. And in this case, she's opposing Libra. So it made perfect sense to me that she would also pick up some of those characteristics. Now, Venus is in her morning star phase throughout this time period. That means that people are more outgoing and we're more inclined to live by our adventurous side, particularly as Venus moves into Aries. So it actually makes for more honest, direct, and independent relationships, and it makes us more desirous of self-sufficiency. In other words, as we're working within a relationship, we're going to bring these qualities in and work with that energy more often than not. So you can kind of expect an increase in the loving, more passionate energies, as well as the creative energies, and especially true for the fire and the cardinal signs. So if you're an Aries, a Libra, a Cancer, Capricorn, Leo, or Sagittarian, it's true for you. Now, it's also going to be effective for other people, so don't think you're left out just because you might not be one of those signs, because you also have that sign somewhere in your chart, and so it is definitely affecting you somewhere. We can also expect more socializing and dating and possibly even new relationships that pop up while Venus is in Aries, because Venus in Aries dares to take emotional risks and then boldly follows that instant attraction that there might be between you and another person. And it, you know, if you follow that lead, it may actually take you into a new relationship. But you have to beware of hasty commitments to these relationships, because that boldly adventurous energy may wear off as Venus moves out of Aries and into Taurus. So you really want to watch your own behavior and your feelings. And if you've jumped into something, you know, willy-nilly or because it was right at the moment, you've just got to know that as time goes on, it may not be so right. And for those people that are already in long-term relationships, here's a word of caution, as that Venus in Aries can sometimes trigger arguments, as each of us in relationships are more headstrong, more opinionated than usual. So don't force issues between one another, right? Compromise. Search for those Libran qualities of diplomacy and tact and being able to create win-win solutions between each other. Now, Venus in Aries also rules creativity, so our drive for self-expression is increased. And we may even find ourselves being able to start that creative project that's been, you know, sitting around waiting for us to put some energy into. Maybe we didn't have the energy to do it before, or we just lacked the confidence to do it before. And now, you know, Venus in Aries kind of enhances our self-confidence to be able to move forward with these things. Venus is also the ruler of money, and so let's take a look at Venus in Aries and money, and that is when Venus is in Aries, we may be much more impulsive with our spending, and we may spend more freely on the things that we like in terms of beauty or art or the things that imbibe, like that takes over our fancy. We might be, you know, in a store, we see that painting, and we just have to have it. So you want to watch what's going on in your pocketbook for the next 4 weeks while Venus is staying here, because you may be more subjected to buying things that you wouldn't normally buy. And then, of course, when Venus moves into Taurus, the sign that actually rules money, things may look a little different in your checking account. So beware and be careful. Venus also rules values. And we may find that during this transit, we are more confident in claiming our own value and our own worth. You may come face to face with the conflicts in your life that were born out of a sense of low self-worth or that lack of confidence or the low self-esteem, that you'll find maybe the courage to change that in yourself during this transit. And of course, Venus, or of course, Uranus is also in Aries. And so at some point during the month in the next 2 weeks, that Venus will conjunct Uranus. So as if the fiery energies of Venus and Aries aren't enough, she's going to conjunct Uranus this month. That means our instinct for independence and to cast off oppression is going to be dominating. So the best way for us to use this energy is to connect fully with our authentic selves. right? Break out of the codependent patterns that you've been in and use the energy of Venus and Aries conjunct Uranus to see your relationships as a mirror to claim your own power and your own uniqueness. This is really breakthrough energy for relationships, especially if each of you can temper yourselves and steer clear of the angry outbursts with one another that can pop up, of course, with this kind of energy. Staying true to yourself is a boost to your personal chemistry and ultimately strengthens your relationships. Now, on the world scene, Venus in Aries can also see us working more diligently with diplomacy and cooperation, although initially I kind of suspect that peace may sort of give way to either outwardly aggressive actions or even passive-aggressive actions, but ultimately the potential for diplomatic breakthroughs exists here as well. So we're really going to enjoy this Venus in Aries energy, and I'm going to throw it to you, Laura, now to talk to us about the energy of Venus as she moves through the sign that Aries is in.
That's right, yes. I think I so agree with you about all of this breakthrough energy for relationships. While Venus is in Aries, now the black moon is in Leo, the other fire sign, and then the asteroid Cupido is in Sagittarius. So we have Venus and the black moon and Cupido in the fire signs. And when the black moon is in Leo, as I mentioned last week, we tend to at least be accused of being more selfish or self-centered, so we're automatically thinking more about ourselves. Everybody is. And then when you get Venus and Aries there too, which is rather self-focused, It can lead to imbalance in relationships where people are thinking too much about themselves and not as much about others. And so, that's the caution about all of this very fiery energy, but just also with being in Sagittarius, it's transiting the galactic center right now. And what it's going to be doing to help this month have happen is to bring people together, to actually nexus people who set up contracts to be together in this lifetime, to do work, to be in relationships. There's a big push with this new moon in Taurus that we've just started to really bring people together. And so watching, how you talk to people and being very respectful and really trying to build up other people is going to be very, very helpful to make all that happen.
Right, kind of nonviolent
communication. Yes, and really trying to uplift other people, because all of this energy is very self-centered, and that can get to be too much. And then with Mars opposing Venus, as she transits through, we have some really interesting days, lots of them, but particularly May 19th and 20th. So what's going to be going on at that time is Venus is going to conjunct the Aries point. And so, I talked last week about the black moon. The black moon is really how the shadow energy affects us individually, but Aries is how the shadow side affects us as a collective. Okay, so it's the same energy about rebirth and regeneration, and it's dealt with on those two levels. When Venus makes conjunction with the Aries point, which is 20 degrees of Aries, 36 minutes, it's a beautiful thing because I love to talk about it because it's the only time I get to talk about purely wonderful transits of the black moon. Because remember, we're talking about the black moon and Aries here together when they're synonymous. When Venus gets to that point in Aries, relationships undergo a regeneration. Relationships that are meant to end do, and are quickly followed by new relationships. So anytime there's an ending of a relationship during Venus with this Aries point energy, really when so with the black moon and Venus come together as sisters, is really what we're talking about, a unification of the feminine, relationships undergo transformation. So this is what's going to happen 19th and 20th of May, which
Woo-hoo!
Is also when Mars is going to station direct.
The moon
is going to be in Aquarius those 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, since the black moon is in Leo, every month when the moon transits Leo or Aquarius, the shadow side is activated. Okay, so we think about this juxtaposition of these events. We have Mars stationing direct, which always kicks off things. I mean, that's like the slingshot, you know, going forward again. And all of this energy that we've been reworking over these several months really moves the other way and begins to be manifested and implemented. And then we will have Venus moving to that point, the Eris point, and the black moon issues being activated. And so these are the 2 days we're really going to want to be mindful and conduct ourselves in the most dignified way, take the high road with things, and watch what moves out of your life and what enters at that time, because it's very significant.
Absolutely, yeah. Mars is that catalyst energy to all of this, and of course Venus at that point's in the sign he rules, so now they're both going to be vying for attention. How wonderful fun is that going to be?
Yeah, I think you can already start to see this happening now, just since the moon or the sun is under Taurus and we have the new moon going now. And also that May 20th is the last day that the sun will be in Taurus.
Right. Then it moves into Gemini and things get very verbal.
That's right. Right. So the value system is undergoing regeneration, and that
right.
plays out in our relationships.
Yeah, it really does. And I really like the idea of using our relationships as mirrors, because that's so important to be really mindful of what it is that I'm seeing in the other person that I either don't like or I'm trying to change, or maybe it's something I really love about that other person, because it's really showing me information about me. And I think that's going to be sort of a lifesaver for everybody through this. If you stop before you issue out some angry words and think about what is it that person's really showing you about you. It can stop a lot of big kind of arguments and confrontations.
It really can. And those 2 days, May 19th and 20th, are the days we really want to try to slow down and think before we speak, because the Eris energy has us saying things before we even know it. And so if you can slow yourself down in advance of that, it'll help a lot, because, you know, a lot of times those are things that need to be said, but, you know, we need to be respectful.
Because they could be said in a way that doesn't, cut people to the quick, so to speak. So that's a really good reminder.
Yes, because the black moon is the shadow side. So the deepest parts of the unconscious parts of this, the parts that we project, like you were talking about with mirrors, all of that comes up during that time. So it's something to be aware of.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, the thing is, we'll also probably see that playing out on the world stage. And that's kind of what I'm thinking. You know, we have this thing going on with the Ukraine and Russia. It'll be interesting to see how that either resolves itself, or how we get drawn in as the United States and it explodes into something else. Or hopefully, you know, cooler heads prevail and diplomacy prevails, and we can work through it and kind of see how it is we can be working our way to peace over the next several years. That's how I think I would like to see this energy go.
Yes, the Eris energy is designed for that. It is for unification, and it really does not like to battle. It does want to unify those things that are divided. I think this is what's been happening since that planet Eris was discovered in 2005. We're trying to get to that.
Yeah, good point. I haven't thought about it that way, but yeah, that's a good point. Now, Laura, because this is a continuation show, we're going to be doing some readings here in a few moments, but I thought maybe you could just do a real quick recap about what it is, what the black moon in Leo was bringing to us, and maybe just a couple of minutes on that, and then we'll launch ourselves into some of the readings from people that are waiting patiently in the queue.
Absolutely, sure. Very quickly, the black moon is about cycles of death and rebirth. She's always trying to regenerate and revitalize things. And you can think of the transits of the black moon like the phoenix descending into the ashes and then rising again from that. With the black moon in Leo, the shadow side that's involved is the shadow of order, meaning the place you attained in life, the level or station the social order of things. And the core fear of the Black Moon in Leo involves the fear of change. And so people with Black Moon in Leo do not like things to change. We all have a little bit of trouble with that. Black Moon in Leo judges themselves according to what they have accomplished and where they are in a hierarchy. They can, you know, have issues of being accused of being selfish or self-centered or jealous and oftentimes arrogant. And these things show up in relationships. The Black Moon in Leo is concerned about losing face or losing position, and a lot of stress can be put on us about as far as how we feel about ourselves or how we value ourselves according to what we've accomplished or what level we've achieved with something. And then when we talk about the Black Moon, we always talk about the polarities because we're dealing with shadow, dark and light, and opposites, and two sides of things. When we talk about the Black Moon in Leo, we also have to talk about the Black Moon in Aquarius, and that involves the shadow of power and the core fear of powerlessness. It's the tendency to have power struggle with people or in situations possibly dominate them. The self-judgment that's involved, because we always have this theme of self-judgment with the Black Moon, it's related to the impact or the power somebody has to make things happen that they want to happen, their power to manifest, their power to produce things in the world. And that's how people with Black Moon and Aquarius would tend to judge themselves. So in some ways, that Black Moon and Aquarius is also very aware of its personal power and the ability to really kind of crush people if it's not conscious and worked with. So we have, while the Black Moon's in Leo, this polarity going on of fear of change and then also a fear of powerlessness. So these two together, are very charged. You know, they can be very dramatic, as Leo is, right?
The drama queens and kings.
Right. So we have these things in place. And as I mentioned, every time, every month, when the moon goes into Aquarius and Leo, the shadow side is activated while the Black Moon is in Leo. And so basically it's two opportunities every month for people who are having transits of the Black Moon to work with that energy for regeneration so that what needs to be left behind can be left in the past, and then we can experience a rebirth in that area of our lives. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yes, great. So you did really good. That's a great quick recap of last week. And so with that, I'm going to start bringing in some callers for us to work with or for you to work with, and then I'll throw in my two cents if you don't mind. The first person we're going to bring in, and I'm hoping I'm saying her name right. I'm going to call, I think it's Marina, and it actually is her birthday tomorrow. So this is sort of a fun thing for her to do today. Marina, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. And am I saying your name correctly? Is that correct,
yes.
Marina?
Yes, you are. It's Marina, and I'm Ukrainian. So I'm listening to your ladies, and you're speaking about my life on so many deep levels, including my love life and my anxiety about what's happening in my ancestral homeland. So there's a lot going on in my life that you're speaking to.
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm going to let Laura speak to you first, but I also pulled a birthday chart for you. So I just want to, when you're done, Laura, just turn it over to me because I want to kind of tell her some real quick things about her upcoming year.
Oh, wonderful. Yes. Happy birthday, Eve, Marina.
Thank you,
yeah,
Laura.
Yeah, you, well, my dear, you have the Black Moon in Aries, and it's been talking about since we started at 7. Is the Black, dealing with all these Venus and Aries issues. But not only that, all of this cardinal cross energy that we've been having is affecting your Black Moon. So this is a very deep imprint from this grand cross that's been going on, and it's been reworking your Black Moon. You also have Black Moon conjunct Eris, and so the themes that are involved with Black Moon and Eris are probably very prominent in your life. you have right now, Mars is transiting, opposing your black moon. So have you had a little bit of trouble controlling your anger, or have you had anger issues crop up?
I think at the end of December, I was contacted by an old love with that I have very unresolved issues with, and for the next 5 weeks, he told me how wonderful I was, and I was the only woman for him, and he wanted to take me away. He lives in a foreign land, and then the truth came out that he had gotten another woman pregnant and didn't want to marry her, and that, you know, he's a Scorpio, so that Saturn in the Scorpio made him realize that I was the woman for him, and I felt such deep betrayal. And I was dealing with that anger issues in February and March and starting to come out of that in April. And I knew about the Cardinal Grand Cross, and I thought, oh, something will happen in Ukraine. Something will happen to my father who's in hospice. And then the universe whacked me on the head on exactly the Cardinal Cross. My best friend died suddenly in her sleep. And I feel a little bit undone. I don't know what, you know, I don't know why. It's been very intense for months, and I just want some guidance on, you know, am I moving to stable ground, and what to do with this unresolved love that is still, you know, it feels very karmic. And I would want to know, is this the time to release it? Is this the time for it to heal? What does it feel like in my chart?
I'm so sorry, Marina, that you've had all of that happening. The black moon, you know, the cardinal cross affecting your black moon is definitely bringing out shadows and deep emotional issues related to relationships, because you have it in the black moon is in the seventh house, and Uranus is absolutely conjunct it right now. And so it brings things from out of the blue, too. So you're looking, things are happening that you have to see. It's forcing you to look at, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About yourself. And the black moon in Aries, it can make decisions based on wherever your self-esteem is and your feelings about yourself, what your worthiness is. Wherever you are with that, that's what's trying to be regenerated for you. And so that would be thinking about relationships that would possibly be, you know, good for you, you know, the best kinds of relationships for you, and setting kind of a standard of what you want and holding that in mind. But there are a lot of other things going on in your chart, and Venus is conjunct your Chiron today, and so that's very, you know, that's a lot of pain and wounding that is in place. And the Cardinal Cross, you know, this is happening over a long period of time, so it's kind of pounding away, you know, at your black moon. There's some things that I see in here that I really wouldn't want to talk about on the air, but I'd love to chat with you another time so we could go into it a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah.
And are you done with that, Laura, or?
Yeah.
Okay. So, Marina, when you pull a solar return chart, it is actually a snapshot of the moment in time when the sun comes back to the same place it was when you were born. And it often will show us sort of the key themes that are going to come up for you as the coming year. You know, this is sort of your new year, right? So you want to look at where the planets are starting out so we get an idea of what the energy might be like for you. And at this point, I can see, you know, for you by birth, the sun is in the eighth house. And so this transformational death rebirth kind of energies are really strong in your life anyways. Now, on your birthday, though, the sun is coming back in the third house. And that should help to, you know, back some of these, you know, very emotional feelings off a bit. And then it becomes a mind game. What do you do with the pain and the things that have happened to you over the last couple of months? Do you take those and make them personal where they become a part of you and, you know, kind of wear away at your self-esteem or your self-worth? So I want you to be very aware of the thoughts that are going through your head during this year, because they can either be used to empower yourself or you could be using your thoughts to disempower yourself, particularly when you've had such a rough time of it. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so your focus definitely is on what is going on in my mind, so that I'm not talking to myself and telling myself how unvaluable I am, that, you know, people do these kinds of things to me, or, you know, blah, 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 the stuff that happens in our heads.
Okay.
The moon for you comes back in the fourth house, which brings up the homeland, right, your home and your culture that you're identified with. And it will be in Gemini, and I think you'll probably still be feeling kind of pulled between the two, you know, living here in the U.S., but watching what's happening in a country far away. It doesn't appear that, you know, I don't see any catastrophic anything coming up around this for you. And I think that's really good news. I mean, it's hard to foretell what will happen, but it doesn't look like anything that's going to send you over an edge of sorts is about to happen with your homeland or your country. And so, you know, I see that, you know, kind of making you feel more settled and secure right here where you are. Although, like I said, a part of you is still going to feel pulled. Now, I think the biggest news for you over the next couple of months is going to be really that as Mars comes out of retrograde in May 19th, you're going to, in the next couple of weeks right after that, start to experience your Mars return. And that will be when Mars is conjunct your natal Mars, which will be affecting your first house and your eighth house by solar return. And so I think I see a personal revolution coming this year for you, a personal transformation, an empowerment process. And so some of the things that, you know, during the early part of this year that have felt, or even, you know, into recently, have felt very disconcerting are going to kind of give way and yield to the energies of a more strengthened you. So I think you have a lot to look forward to.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
that sounds good.
And Destiny
that's
is also going through this part for you. So Destiny also strengthens that idea that who you are and is going to take more center stage, and who do you want to be, and that kind of thing for the next, you know, several weeks. So I think you have a lot to look forward to. All right?
Thank you, Laura. Thank you, Janet. Thank you, Laura. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you so much.
And Marina,
you take care.
Janet, yes. Yes. Oh, Marina, before you go, Janet has your email, and so I will contact you, and we'll talk in more depth about this,
oh,
okay?
Oh, Laura, that would be wonderful, because it's first you've got my curiosity piqued. Okay, thank you, wonderful ladies.
All right, have a fun day to you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, that was awesome, and we have our next caller in the queue, and his name is Joseph. Joseph, are you live with me? Hi, Joseph.
Hello?
How are you doing today? Hi there.
I'm awesome. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Thank you guys for everything you do, by the way.
Oh, thank you. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. And Joseph's on the Oracle Report Facebook, aren't you, Joseph?
Yeah. Been on for a while, actually.
I love it when we get... Yes, yes. Well, okay, so... Joseph, have you been having very much fun lately?
Oh, like things have been changing a lot, actually, for me. It's really interesting, actually, to see a lot of new things popping up in my life as well.
During February, you had the Black Moon transiting your moon, and so that was an emotional rebirth for you.
It really was.
Yeah, yes. And... so between July 21st and August 17th, you will have your Black Moon return. So that means that the Black Moon is going to return to the place in the sky where it was when you were born. And this is basically a regeneration of your shadow side, of your fears, that take place during that intensive month. And so you'll be facing changes that challenge you in how you look at that. And so what you do is you look at it and say, oh, these changes are all going to be for the better, because we know that the Black Moon always brings the gift. You know, she brings us down, but she brings us back up too. So,
yeah.
And this is in your fifth house. So, So this is going to transform really like your life and how you enjoy life and what you're getting out of it.
Okay.
I looked at the Sabian symbol for your black moon is a houseboat party.
Okay, that
which
sounds
is
good.
Great.
I like that.
Yeah.
So if this fun side of your life, if how you are able to really connect with the planet and have fun and enjoy, this part that's been missing, is going to change. August 10th is when the sun is going to conjunct your black moon, so the themes with the black moon might be more prominent then, and the moon's going to be in Aquarius that day, and so
okay.
So that's just going to compound it. So you're going to want to make it about others. But this is this black moon return that you're having, it happens once every 9 years. And so if you think back to whatever was going on in your life 9 years ago, you'll see the themes of that, and it'll give you some indication of that. You know, you have the sun in Aquarius and your moon opposing it in Leo. So when the black moon is in Leo or in Aquarius, you really have a whole 9 months of transformation. That's pretty intensive.
I've been seeing that starting already.
Yeah, absolutely. So, embrace the chaos, the interactions of the physical world, it's a type of art. And so, you're getting good, information about how to deal with it and work with it. Make it about other people and you'll be just fine.
Okay. Wow, thank you so much. I needed to hear that.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in.
Oh, well, thank you, guys.
You're welcome, Joseph. Thank you.
Bye, Joseph.
Bye.
Bye. All right. So I like that visual, the boat. Or what did you just say that again? What was his? It was his Sabian symbol?
It's a houseboat party.
Houseboat party.
Yeah, a houseboat party, which is pretty good for your shadow side.
Yeah, no kidding. Gotta love that one. Okay. All right, I think our next caller is Joy, and I didn't send you her information today, but perhaps you have it left from last week.
Yes, I do. Hi, Joy.
Hello. Thanks for being able to take this call.
Hi, Joy.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Joy, do you have a lot of changes going on right now, Joy?
I do. And they're mostly good, challenging and stressful, but mostly happy things.
Yes. You actually have Mars at the Aries point that I just mentioned when I was talking about that energy right there. And so shadow side, Aries type themes are prominent for you. It's no wonder you found the Oracle report. I'm not surprised at all. But it also means that anger can be an issue for you. And so if it's not being handled and moved through your body, because it's in Aries, we have to move when it's Aries, that can be a problem for you. And it can turn on you and make you kind of depressed if you aren't, expressing your feelings in some way. It doesn't necessarily mean you're talking to someone and telling them. It might be in a creative way that you process your emotions. The black moon right now is transiting your 11th house of hopes, wishes, and dreams. And so that is bringing a redefinition, a rebirth to that area of your life. And the way that you feel about the past also, and things that have gone on in the past. And so while the black moon is in Leo, while this transit is happening through November, you're going to be processing the past and coming to a new understanding of it.
Nice.
Joy, I wanted to mention that you have the moon located very close to the galactic center, the degree of the galactic center. And so that means that your emotions can feel limitless and overwhelming because they are, the galactic center is the great void there. And so that you can get very easily overwhelmed. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I cry easily. And I was wondering about that. The emotions are intense and they're not necessarily bad or reactionary per se, but I guess reactionary, is okay. But yes, intensity is there for sure. But not
yes, having the Mars.
And I'm always aware of some low-grade frustrations, which also can then be anger. But I just found out today that I had shingles. Oh, my God.
Oh.
Is that
oh,
having
no.
Oh, wow.
I feel
oh,
for
gosh.
You, sister.
Chiron is, yeah, Chiron's transiting your sun right now in the sixth house of health. So this is about healing, you know, ultimately.
Right. Right, of course,
but,
yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that, Joy. That makes me sad. But I want to tell you a little bit about your black moon, too. You have the black moon in Virgo, and that involves fear of failure. And so a lot of your intense emotions can center around that. But it's a paradox because the people with the black moon in Virgo are the most competent people. And it is because they are concerned about their abilities that they've pushed themselves very hard. And so, you know, this is a difficult position for the black moon, especially with your moon there with all of the galactic center energy with it. So if you start to feel down on yourself, that's when you know that you want to work from that and work out of that, because it's just a shadow. It's not real. That's not true about you, that, you know, that you fail. You know what I mean?
Right. And yeah, no, that feels right. And there's a balancing aspect because my sun is in Pisces, which can be very spacey. I can be, you know, really, really push myself and be lazy at the exact same time.
I'm a Pisces too, Joy. I know what you mean.
I mean, I'm sort of surprised
but the
about that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Right now, with Chiron transiting over your sun, it, you know, it's painful. Chiron is about pain, and yeah, and so when you need to cry, you need to cry. That's what, you know, this is what it's doing. It's probably bringing up some childhood issues or some trauma that you experienced early in childhood.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. We're clearing that. Oh, okay.
Right. Yes. So, you know, let's focus on this regeneration, this rebirth about your hopes, your wishes, and your dreams, and about transmuting a lot of the past, that energy. All of these changes that are going on are designed to put you where you need to be.
Okay. That sounds right. I will do that. Thank you.
Thanks, Joy.
All right, Joy, you take care of yourself and get better quick.
Oh, I will.
Heal,
thank
heal.
You for your good wishes. Thank you.
All right, and thanks for calling in today. Goodness, that Chiron.
It's really amazing. And, you know, I feel like, you know, probably a lot of our calls, the, you know, people that called in, they have a lot going on, and that's just kind of the nature of what happens when I work with people. It's usually at a time that they're having some trauma or some crisis, because this is what the Black Moon's about.
Right. So we are sitting at about 12 minutes. So we have at least two other callers I'd like to take today. And I think it's time for you to share your information with people. How can they get a hold of you? And I know you do the Oracle Report daily, and some of the people listening today are from Oracle Report. But for those people who aren't, you know, as familiar with you, share how they can find your information.
Okay, I am at oraclereport.com, and every day, Monday through Saturday, I post a daily energetic analysis. And the goal of that is as a group, as a large group now, luckily, we are actually re-imprinting the energy and focusing it in a different way. So we are involved in an endeavor to make the world better, and we work on it with looking at what the tendencies are for the day in the negative and in the positive. My email, there's a contact form at oracleport.com. You can submit that there. And the email, if you just want to go directly, is oraclereportmail@gmail.com. And I do readings. I do private readings for people, and there's also information on my site about that.
awesome. And we love that report, Laura, every day. That, I mean, I don't know how you do that every day. I would be insane.
Oh, thanks, but Janet.
You do it with such, you know, it's never the same. It always is new and very pertinent to what's going on. And, I mean, I have to tell you, I have a little bit of envy going on there.
Oh, no, it's not me, believe me. I'm in service to the planet, so.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So I'm going to bring in our next caller, Karen. And, Karen, are you live with us?
Yes, I am. Hello there.
Hi there.
Hi.
Welcome.
This is Karen. Thank you.
Welcome. And
thank
I'm
you.
Going to turn you right over
Hi.
To Laura.
Hi, Laura.
I love
your Oracle report. I read it every single morning, and it just sets the tone of my day. Thank you. Thank
Aww,
you.
Thanks, Karen. I'm so glad you're finding it helpful for you.
Oh, yeah.
So, Karen, so you have the Black Moon in Libra. Did you know that?
No, I thought it was in Cancer.
No, it's in Libra.
Really, because I've read your Black Moon book. I have it, you know, right on my iPad, and I read all about the Black Moon in Cancer and resonated with it. So that's good to hear that it's in Libra instead. Thank
well,
you.
Well, let's make sure we have the right Karen. Karen, can you just tell us real quick what's your last name?
Karen Petrowski.
And your birthday
June 28th.
Right.
June 28th, 1971.
Okay.
Right. Yep. You're Black Moon in Libra.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Well, let's see. You'll just see how
okay.
you feel about that.
Wow. Okay.
So the shadow involved with the Black Moon in Libra is about perfection.
Oh,
and
completely.
It has. You could probably tend to judge yourself very harshly, and even flaws, things about you that you think are flawed. Can be a source of challenge for you. The fear that it's involved with the Black Moon in Libra is the fear of being alone. Have you struggled with that?
Absolutely. I'm 42 years old and have had many long-term relationships, but none of them have been, to the point of marriage. Right now I am alone and I'm happily alone. I've been working very hard on myself to get to this point. Had a breakup 5 months ago and did a huge, spiritual ceremony, basically coming to a point of, I wish the best for you, and I didn't want to have any hardship in my heart. I happened to run into the guy today at the library. He approached me. Haven't talked to him in 5 months, and I was very pleased with, that our interaction, and I am proud of myself and my work. So, yep, that is my challenge, though.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Being alone.
Well,
yep.
Here, the moon is transiting over your Venus today, so of course that happened today.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I also just
Karen,
see that your
you
Uranus
have...
is conjunct her Chiron, too. And her Eris. She's got Eris and Chiron.
Eris. Right. You have, so the day you were born, the planet Chiron and the planet Eris were conjunct. And what this means is challenge, it can mean challenges in relationships. The Black Moon and Eris tell us about true love, and they are archetypally linked to relationships and marriage particularly. You also, in addition to that, the Black Moon is conjunct your Pluto. And when you have Pluto and the Black Moon together, that's relationships. That does also promise to you, though, that you will have you will get married and you will find your true love. That's guaranteed within a Pluto-Black Moon conjunction like that. But the issue, in your chart, opposite that, you do have this Chiron-Eris conjunction. And so it is definitely talks about wounding from relationships and from your shadow side. Your Cancer, your son's in Cancer, so that can be emotional anyway. And so, and Venus in Gemini, this contributes to issues in relationships. But you've got some wonderful things also happening in your chart that point to some changes that are going to flip this around for you so that you're kind of going in a little bit different direction. But the Black Moon in Libra, you know, if you're judging yourself, if you're being too hard on yourself and wanting perfection out of yourself, that is something to work on because it's an illusion, first of all. It doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And we are the totality of many things, aren't we, not just one.
Yes. And I have been working on it. This past month I committed to having a love affair with myself and getting to accept all parts of me. And it's been great. It's been me. I never had that, you know, self-love before like I had this past month. This April was great for me, despite all the things
uh-huh.
going on. Yeah. And
well, the Black
that
is
my relationship with me. Yep. Okay.
Yes. And so this
mm-hmm.
this work that you're doing is definitely going to change up your structure, the structure of your life, how it is set up and how you do. The Black Moon's going to, in about 2 months, it's going to go into your fourth house, and so that's going to revamp and revitalize your structure and how your life is organized.
Oh, great. Great.
Yeah.
Because I am wanting to attract in my soulmate. I'm doing online dating now.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when we have this Black Moon Pluto here, like you do, that, like I said, it's guaranteed. So you're 42 now. It could be any time now, Karen.
Yeah, well, it's good to be content right where I'm at, which is true. So just go from here.
Yes, yes.
Great. Thank you so much. I love your book, and I love your reports.
Oh, thank you,
Karen. I share them
with
lots and lots of people. My mom is even reading them every day now, too.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
More wise owls for the parliament.
Yes, absolutely.
I love it. That's great. Get the whole family involved.
Oh, yeah. We're soul sisters.
Very nice.
Aww.
All right,
so
Karen.
Is there anything
thank you so
I can...
much for calling
okay,
in.
Okay, well, thank you. Okay, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Karen.
Okay, have a blessed
Bye,
evening.
Bye, Karen. You too. Wow, that's great. We are down to only 2.5 minutes, and I can't believe how fast the time goes by when you're doing what you love. You are so good at just sort of tuning right into these specific things that are going on for people as it relates to their shadows and so forth. And, you know, there's hope in all of this. Is that right? Because there's a high side to all of this.
There absolutely is. That is the best thing about the Black Moon is it's so precise. You can pinpoint the day that the transit will really start for you and the day it will end. And then when it ends, you go on the upswing. It's the Phoenix rising. There's always a gift that comes in with the Black Moon, and so I'm always happy to talk to people about that and being able to tell them if they're having, you know, if they're struggling through a Black Moon transit, it will end.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the few things you can guarantee in astrology.
Right. This too shall pass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always interesting to me how these transits, they build one on another. I mean, this has just been a very energetic year, and it really does sort of shake people to their core. But I think it's really nice to know that there's a purpose behind all of this, that, you know, we're really aiming for our authentic selves to be what we are left with. Would you agree?
And the black moon in Leo, yes, we're going to have changes, but they're all for the best. What comes from it is designed to bring us to a higher place.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just want to thank you so, so much, Laura, for being on Living Astrology. You certainly bring the best information to us, and we'll have you on, I'm sure, again many times. Again, for people who want to reach Laura, you can read her daily report at www.oraclereport.com. And if I've got this right, that your email address was... let's see, I wrote it down here, is oraclereportmail@gmail.com, right?
That's right.
All right. So for those of you who want to get in contact with Laura,
Janet.
That's the email. You're very, very welcome. For my listeners, thank you all for tuning in today. Next week, I have a new person for Living Astrology named Marilyn Harper, who's going to be talking to us about numerology. And so I hope you'll all join us then. And until then, have a stellar week.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology. You can reach Janet for readings or astrological advice at www.living-astrology.com or by email at janet@living-astrology.com. Would you like to host your own weekly radio show? If so, contact us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be considered as a guest or would like to recommend a guest, email us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Goodbye for now and have a stellar week.